Well, hello everyone, this is Deanna Mayo and welcome to today's training, How to Take Control of Your Inbox Without Sacrificing Your Time, Your Clients, or Your Sanity. I'm super excited to be here with you today. Got a lot of great information to share with you. Not so much so that you get overwhelmed, but today's training is going to provide you with practical tips and strategies so that you can keep your email under control and have it under your control and not controlling you. So I thought to start out today, I'd just share a little bit about why I think that I'm a good person to share this information with you. All of you on the line, you know me fairly well, but some of you listening to the recording may be new to my world. So I just want to tell you a little bit about me and why I feel like I'm qualified to share this with you. I have been owning small business for 8 years. And I've been in business management and marketing for 23 years. And that may seem a little hard to believe, but I actually started my first real paid job besides babysitting was managing a business all on my own. And believe it or not, I was 13 years old. So I do know a little bit about how to grow and manage a business. Not just a little bit, I know a lot. I've been on email since 1995. Those of you that remember what the world was like before email, you realize that 1995 was the beginning of really things like Pine, where you just had like a DOS-looking screen with a black screen and white text. And yes, I was on email even then. And another thing that makes me qualified to be here with you today is that I can control my email inbox. I always have less than 50 messages in my box at any given moment, and I always end each week with less than 10 messages in my inbox. So besides that, I actually co-wrote a book on productivity and email management when I was about 23 years old. So, and that text has been utilized over and over and over again. It's now in its fourth printing, I believe, for Microsoft Office Outlook 2010. And I believe the primary author, Jim Boyce, is planning on a new version here soon. So I know a little bit about email management, and I'm excited to share what I've learned here with you today. I want you to get a lot from our time together today. So I've got a couple of recommendations for you. First thing is, I really recommend that you participate fully. Do the exercises. Take notes. Don't allow distractions to get in your way. So that means turn off Facebook, Twitter, turn your cell phone over so you're not seeing texts and phone calls if you're not expecting an emergency call. Shut down everything else on your computer besides the slides for this presentation and try not to multitask. Yes, even your email. Just leave it for now. Trust me, it'll be there when it's over and you'll be better off for it. I want you to try to listen with vulnerability today. And that means listening with the intent that your mind just might be changed. So many of us have deep-seated beliefs about email and about our ability to manage it that I want you to consider that those beliefs could be not serving you and that you might be willing to change them. And then lastly, I want you to commit to taking action. Some of the information I'm going to share with you today is very easily implemented, but it does take you taking a step forward. And if you do, I'm telling you, life is going to be so much more exciting and fun and joyful when you're not underneath a bunch of email. So today's presentation, we're going to cover, and I'm going to help you to really see how much email is costing you. I'm going to help you to stop obsessively checking your email without disappointing your clients, your friends, or yourself. How to control your inbox so you stop missing important emails and stop being stressed over your unread count. How to know when email is not the best tool and what to use instead. And I'm going to share some of my favorite strategies to really help you stop your email overwhelm. The thing about email is it really is a problem. And I truly believe it's a problem, not just in business, but in the world in general. I mean, how many times have you felt buried by your inbox, screaming, at least inside your own head, it's out of control? And the diagnosis is we are, many of us, in a state of email overwhelm. Your inbox is toxic. It is the root cause of a lot of stress, overwhelm, disorganization, and an assortment of other related ills. The prognosis that I have is that inbox toxicity is extremely common. It's pretty much affecting everyone, and it's really curable. So that's some good news. You can easily turn your inbox into a fabulous tool that can make your business and you more efficient, more productive, more organized, and, you know, ultimately more profitable. And that's really what we're in business for, right? Is that we're in it to make profits. If we're not in it to make profits, then it's a hobby. So then if we know the problem is email overwhelm and we know the prognosis is that inbox toxicity is common but curable, then the prescription is this. You need to detox your inbox. And you do that with systems that take back control of your email and rid you of the dis-ease that's plaguing you and your business. It's not that I've always had it all together when it comes to business. I mean, when I started, I didn't have all these strategies in place. I went out to the world and I learned. I researched. I explored. And what I'm sharing with you today is the result of years of study so that you don't have to go forward and put that study into place for yourself and take the years and years and years to put these things in place. So first thing we're going to start with today is how much is email really costing you? I want you to think about how the number of emails you receive will continue to grow every year. We have no indication that email use is going to slow down. So the first thing we have to really get clear on is what it's costing you. So we're going to do a little exercise now. I want you to grab a piece of paper and a pencil, or you can use the handout for our training today. Jot that on there. Just pull up a little blank text document on your computer. I'm going to do a little calculation here. I want you to think about how much time each day, on average, you waste on email. There's a couple of different wasters that are common, so I want you to consider time you spend scanning and reading email that is really irrelevant or a waste of your time, so the content isn't worthwhile. Time you spend multitasking back and forth because each email shoves you into a different train of thought. And time just recentering after looking at your inbox and dealing with email. And what I'd love for you to do is type that into the Ask a Question box on the webinar page. Don't worry, I won't share your details with anybody else. I won't even identify the number with your name, but I want to get a sense of what we're dealing with here so I can really be of service to you today. So how much time on average each day do you think you waste on email? All right. So the thing to consider here is this. If you spend at least 30 minutes a day reading and responding to unnecessary emails, you're wasting a full 3 weeks a year. In your year are gone as a result of unnecessary emails. So the key here is, if you can believe that at least 30 minutes of your day are spent on unnecessary email, multitasking back and forth, trying to get recentered and refocused after having dealt with email, I want you to really connect with what it would mean if you could get those 3 weeks back. So I want you to just brainstorm and envision with me for just a moment. If you had an extra 3 full weeks a year, what would you do with it? Would you take a vacation with your family? Would you use some of that time to volunteer for a cause you believe in? Would you spend that time on revenue-generating activities so that you could help more people and make more money? Hello. It's really not important to me what you want to spend the time on, but I want you to get really clear about what it is you do with that 3 weeks and how it would feel if you could spend 3 weeks doing that thing. Maybe it's a combination of things. It doesn't have to be one thing, but when you have this in your mind's eye, it's going to be a lot easier for you to make the changes, the modifications, the alterations to how you deal with email now. All right, so are you ready to dig into the tips and the strategies to help you get your email inbox under control? All right, here we go. So excited. Tip number one, you're the boss. Any of you that know me know I love being the boss of my own business. What I mean here is you're the boss of your email. No one else. So what that means is you've got to stop becoming a slave to your email, allowing it to grab your attention whenever a new message comes in. You've got to reclaim control of your inbox and choose to use email as a tool rather than allowing it to be a distraction. Because there's always going to be more. So just get used to it. You are going to die with emails in your inbox. And it's okay. So the first tip, if you haven't already, I want you to turn off notifications. I want you to minimize the temptation of having to jump when a new email arrives by disabling any audible or visual cues that come into your computer when a new email arrives. This also applies to your cell phone. So many of us have smartphones these days, like a little computer in our pocket. If you get a notification of some kind when you get an email on your cell phone, I want you to turn that sucker off. It doesn't serve you. Email is not urgent. The telephone is urgent. Someone knocking at your door is urgent. A firefighter telling you to get out of the building because it's burning down is urgent. Email is not urgent. The second tip to really becoming the boss of your email is to set a schedule and a time limit to process your email. You want to set parameters for the times you're going to process your email. So, for example, make a commitment to yourself that you'll only process email messages after your first hour of the day. So let's say you start at 9 a.m. You set an appointment for yourself to do email at 10, after lunch, and at the end of your workday. Now, the schedule that you use doesn't really much matter as long as you keep it and you're consistent with it. I do recommend you don't set any more than 4 appointments for yourself a day to check email and no more than 30 minutes at a time. There's a recent study, the McKinsey Global Institute reported that people spend 28% of their time writing, reading, and answering email. 28%! And most of it is unproductive because email is reactive by nature. Yes, you know, when we clear our inbox, we get a brief feeling of accomplishment. But unless you're doing some sort of customer support for your work, your job description probably doesn't include respond to every email. Answering email is just one part of our world. That's why you have to determine how much time you're going to give it on a given day and not exceed it. It doesn't matter when and for how long, as long as you set a schedule and you train yourself not to jump when you get a new message. It's not urgent just because someone sends it. Doesn't mean you have to respond right away. Email can be a time thief. So you want to set a schedule to process your email. And if it feels like 4 times a day of 30 minutes each is still not enough, just start there. Trust me, as you go through this process, you're going to be getting fewer and fewer emails. And the emails you get are going to be easier to respond to. And eventually that time will be too much, and then you'll chunk it down. Now, here's the thing. When you do this, when you start to change and you create a schedule, you have customers or friends who have come to expect your immediate response to emails. You may have to gently let them know your new email rules. But trust me, after a few days, they'll begin to realize that even though you don't respond instantly, you will respond. So there's a couple things you can do to really help set expectations and still give people quality service. First of all, let them know when you're checking email and how to be in touch if something's urgent. So you can try an autoresponder, or sometimes in your email client, that might be an out-of-office message to let people know you got their message and you're going to respond. Communicate right at the beginning of the relationship and throughout that you have an email schedule. You might want to mention how people can get a hold of you in your email signature if you're not responding to email as promptly as they would like, by giving them an alternative. They can text you, they can call you, maybe you like instant messaging or chat. One of my past teachers, Mari Smith, who's a social media and relationship marketing expert, she has an out-of-office or autoresponder message on her email because she checks Facebook. And she's a relationship marketing expert and a Facebook expert. So she says, if you want to get a hold of me right away, tweet me or send me a Facebook message. That works for her. You have to find out what's going to work for you. And just let people know you will get back to them. And if it's an emergency, there's an alternative way of getting back to you. Because we don't want anyone not able to reach us if they need us. But need is a very, very tricky thing. And just because one person has an emergency doesn't mean it has to be your emergency. All right. That's tip number one. So what I'm going to do right now is just ask if anybody has any questions about the idea of being the boss of your email, turning off notifications, setting a schedule, and letting people know what to expect. If you've got a question, you can type it into the Ask a Question box on the webinar. If you're live on the phone, star 2 on your telephone keypad is like raising your virtual hand, and it'll let me know that you have a comment, a question, or maybe just you want to say hi. Perhaps there's a takeaway for you from tip one already that you're super excited to share and make a commitment about. So let's hear it. All right, looks like we've got a raised hand from Jeannie. Jeannie, you've got the mic. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I just want to say I'm happy to be here with you, and I've already learned so much on this call. It never occurred to me how much time I was wasting because I never took the time to sit down and figure out how much time I spend on email. So thank you. I'm excited to implement what you've already taught and hear more.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really glad you're here.
Awesome.
All right, so let's move on to tip number two, because we've got lots of juicy information to share. Second tip I want to share with you today is the tip is called touch it once. So there's a concept called inbox zero that has really emerged as a respected process for managing email. And the idea is to never open the same email twice. Now, you may have heard the touch it once rule from time management experts before or personal or professional organizers that deal with paper. And let me tell you, this has worked for me ever since I stopped using my email inbox as a task list. So here's the way touch it once works. When you go to process your email, so you've got your scheduled time on your calendar that you're checking email. You're going to reduce all your other distractions. I recommend setting a timer and making it a little game. And one of my favorite timers is an online timer called onlinestopwatch.com that you can use to set some time. Or maybe you have a timer on your iPhone, your Android phone. Pretty much all of us have some sort of way of tracking time. As you look at each email, you're going to give yourself one of four options. The first is delete it. Is this email relevant? Do I really need it for later? Usually the answer 50% of the time is no, so get rid of it. If you're like me and you don't like to delete stuff because you might need it later, I grew up sort of with a depression era mentality that something could be useful later. Just archive it. Get it out of your inbox. Second thing you can choose to do with the email is to do it. So if the email has an associated action or task, and you can do it in less than 2 minutes, do it right then and there. So if it's a quick reply, reply. If it's adding something to your calendar, do it. If you can do it in less than 2 minutes. The third possible action is to do it later, and that means put it on your task list. Now, if you're not working with a task list each day, that's all right. We're going to talk about my favorite task and project management tool in a little bit. I'm going to show you how it's going to make a big impact for you. But you can task that email and then archive it so you have it later. Don't just mark it unread and leave it to languish in the ever-growing pile of email messages. And then the fourth option, if you have someone on your team that you can have handle it for you, delegate it. And when you delegate a message, it doesn't have to be just have them handle the whole thing. It could be, please type up a reply and forward it back to me. And then you can add your own little twist and send it on. It could be that there's something that they need to research. It could be that they need to set up, find out some times you can meet with this person. So if you have someone that you can reach out to, whether it's an intern, a virtual assistant, some sort of contractor or employee, you can choose to delegate it. And that's the four steps. That's all you have to do. Touch it once. Now, the thing here is, this is probably not what you're used to. You're probably used to looking at the message, reading it through, and then going on to the next one, and then going on to the next one, and then going on to the next one, and then coming back to the top of the list later. I really want to encourage you not to work with email that way. It's just not going to serve you. Why would you look at something more than once if you didn't have to? All right. That's tip number two, touch it once. And using that four-step process, I'm telling you, it's going to make things so much faster. Now, I know you're probably, you know, some of you are thinking, yeah, if I say I'll do it later and I put up my task list, I may never get around to it. That's a whole other issue that you need to be spending time on your task list every day. That time also should be scheduled, and that's a whole other talk show. But for now, trust me, if you have a list, you put it on there, you can archive the email, always find it later, and you'll get to it. Or, frankly, about 30% of the emails you're responding to or reading right now, we know are a waste of your time anyway. So you're going to have to learn to let go a little bit. Say it with me, let go. All right. Tip number three, stop using email for the wrong stuff. Stop using email when it's not the right tool to use. You wouldn't use a spoon to dig a gigantic ditch. Maybe what you really need for certain things is not to use email at all. See, people use email for a lot of things it really wasn't intended to do. Maybe you are a service provider and your clients send you tasks to do via email. Maybe you're using your email like a task list. Perhaps you do the back and forth email voicemail thing to set appointments with people. This is one of my absolute pet peeves. It's like, hey, when can you meet? Well, I can meet at this time on this day. Oh, that won't work for me. What about Friday at 11? No, I can't do Friday at 11. How about Friday at 3? Okay, that'll work. And then 2 days later, you get the email back. Sorry, I double booked myself. That won't work. That is a huge waste of your time. Huge. And then the fourth way people use email wrong that I want to talk about today is receiving support requests and questions via email. If you're having any of these situations, you should know that all of these things are better handled outside of email and there are better solutions. So the first solution I want to share with you today is if you're using email as a task list, or if your clients are sending you tasks, like your service provider, via email, I want to highly recommend with all my being My favorite task and project management tool, Teamwork PM. Emails get lost. Instructions get misplaced. Files go missing. A far better idea is to implement a project management or task management system like Teamwork PM to handle all the back and forth of any task or project that's in development. Not only will it help keep your email under control, it'll help keep everything more organized and efficient as well. Now, Teamwork PM is the tool that I use. I've recommended it to hundreds of people at this point. What's really great about Teamwork PM is it's free to get started. You don't have to enter a credit card number, and you can use it free forever to manage two or fewer projects. The link on the screen there is an affiliate link, but I'm not recommending it to you because I want or need the commission. I'm recommending it to you because it works. And once I started implementing a system like this and stopped delegating and managing email, to manage tasks, not only was I more productive, but my team came to me and said, oh my gosh, Teamwork PM is awesome. I can't believe we ever lived without it. So I encourage you to check it out. If you never upgrade to a paid version, that can be just fine. As a matter of fact, about 75% of the people that I've recommended Teamwork PM to have found that the free version is plenty for them. So if you're tired of trying to manage things on your own in your inbox, paper task lists everywhere, I really want to encourage you to try Teamwork PM. You can actually set it up so clients get a special email address where they can email work to you. You can use it just for yourself, or if you grow into having a team, whether they're on-site or virtual, interns or contractors, this is a great way to have visibility to what they're working on and to be able to assign work and keep track of it all. All right, second thing is calendaring and scheduling. Use a system like TimeTrade or TimeBridge. It'll allow other people to see times you've made available. Many of these tools can sync with your Google or Outlook calendar, or you can even use it without a digital calendar. And you don't have to answer emails or take phone calls for people to schedule with you. YouCanBook.me is a new addition to my list of recommended tools. You can start with it for free. They do have a paid version. The thing about online scheduling is I really do recommend you don't make it the only option. So let people know they can schedule online and give them the link, and or they can email or give a phone call. This works particularly well for people who maybe aren't tech savvy from your client base. And you can use this to meet with clients, to meet with joint venture partners or colleagues or affiliates. You can use it to meet with just friends, networking partners, people who want to meet with you for coffee. If you're using networking as a strategy, it's a great idea to try to batch those meetings together so you're only going out of your home office at a particular time, or just to keep yourself organized without making your entire calendar available to people. The thing I really like about this is when you do expand to having some help, you don't have to give access to your entire calendar to whoever's helping you. You can just give them the links to your TimeTrade account, and they can schedule appointments for you within the windows you've set up without having to see your whole calendar. So it's a pretty cool little trick if you don't want to have someone, you know, consistently seeing access to all your stuff. I remember a really great story Allie Brown told once about having multiple calendars. She was on a call with her entire team, and everyone could see her calendar, and her assistant sort of out loud right in front of a joint venture partner said, well, we couldn't meet at 3 p.m. on Friday, but it looks like Allie's got a waxing, so I don't think that's going to work. And she was mortified. So if you don't want someone to see your entire calendar, using a tool like this not only gives you the flexibility of allowing clients to schedule with you and keeping the emails about that back and forth nonsense out of your inbox, but it also allows your team to help you. And team doesn't have to be interns or a paid assistant. Team member could be a colleague who just helps you out for a day to schedule a bunch of complimentary consultations. Okay. Next thing, as it relates to using email for the wrong stuff, is for support requests. Now, this may not apply to all of you at this point in your business because of the kind of business you're in, or because you just don't have enough clients reaching out. Maybe you don't have a lot of digital downloads, so you're not experiencing tech issues with your clients, but support tickets through email suffer the same problems as every other kind of email, and there's really an easy fix, and that's setting up a support desk. There are free options that are open source, and they're really great if you're a little techie and you can set things up on the back end. But if not, Zendesk is a really stellar option, and it's only $20 for the first year. The thing I like about a tool like this is once you answer a question for someone, then it goes into your knowledge base or FAQ for other people to see, so later they don't have to send you an email or they don't have to start a support ticket. If, you know, putting a system like this in place is a little too robust for you and your business right now, that's fine. I just encourage you to set up a separate email address for support questions. Maybe it's helpdesk at your domain or support at your domain, and really encourage people to use that. Two reasons why that's going to support you. One, you can set up a specific time to check that email inbox and not be bombarded by those messages. And two, when it comes time for you to start delegating support stuff to someone else, it's already set up that there's a separate email just for them to check. How cool is that? So bottom line with tip number three, using email for the wrong stuff. Email is a way to communicate. And if you're using it for anything other than that, you're just adding to the amount of overwhelm that you're going to experience. And I want you to start reducing your overwhelm. All right, so that was tip number three. I know I'm moving kind of fast here, but I've got lots of juicy information I want to make sure we get to, including some additional strategies for inbox control that I'm going to share with you here. But right now, I just want to check in, see if anybody has any questions or comments around using email for the wrong stuff, or perhaps around tip two and using that four-step process to deal with your email. So start two if you're live on the phone, or you can type your question into the Ask a Question box on the webinar if you're listening to us live. And while you're thinking about what your question is, I'm going to take a sip of my delicious Earl Grey hot tea. Okay. So either everyone is just completely engrossed and thinking about how they're going to put these strategies into place. I love it. All right, so let's move on. Additional strategies for inbox control. These might not apply to all of you, but if they do, they can be massively powerful, so listen up. This first one may be a little controversial. I don't generally like to push the envelope too much, but this one might ruffle a little feathers. Here we go. Don't check email first thing in the morning. Horror, gasp, shock, awe. Listen, if you start your day with email, you are starting your day in overwhelm, even if you use the four-step process, because you're going to have a ton of messages, and email is generally not revenue-generating. So do something revenue-generating or spirit-inspiring first thing instead. I don't care if it's 20 minutes. Get on the phone and make a follow-up call. Listen to something like a podcast or an audio message that inspires you. Read from your Bible, a book that inspires you, some quotes. Get up and dance around and then make some phone calls or send some follow-up emails. Reach out to people that you want to schedule consultations with. Don't check email first thing in the morning. It will not serve you. I promise you, the minute you stop checking email first thing, your life will shift. You will start to feel a new level of peace and calm about your business, and you will be more clear-headed when you start the rest of your work today. All right. The next advanced strategy is actually about writing your own messages. When you're communicating with people via email, I really encourage you to keep it short and sweet. And I'm not talking about email marketing messages, perhaps, but messages between you, your clients, your customers, your friends, your colleagues. Couple of things I've learned that really work is if you keep your messages short, people may start to model that, and their messages will be short. The shorter the message, the faster you read it, the faster you can reply. So you can use subject line messages, where you don't have anything in the body of the email. Your whole message is just in the subject line. And a little tip I learned back in the day when I was in my corporate job, if you're going to use a subject line email, you just keep it really short, and then you put EOM at the end, and that means end of message. And this actually started long before text messaging. So this isn't like E-U-L, the number 8R, text speak. This is a legitimate business acronym and abbreviation. The other thing you can do, if you need people to give you a response quickly, or you don't need them to give you a response at all, is to start your subject line with action required or no reply required. And if you start to do this, other people may start to do it with you, and it's a way to help you quickly scan and figure out what the action is that you need to do with a particular message. And then the other tip for keeping emails short and sweet is to really integrate bullet points and numbered lists. If you're sending emails between colleagues, clients, customers, you may not need fancy HTML. You may not need logos or pictures, especially at the top of a message, so people automatically have to scroll down to get to the body of the message. If you want to include a graphic or a logo, don't have it be the very first thing that people see. And keep it short and sweet, and you're likely to get short and sweet back. Maybe not right away, but eventually people will start to get the hint. And, you know, if they see what you're doing and they like it, they start to integrate it. At the very least, they start to understand your style and that by being brief, you're not being curt or rude. You could even put a little message in your email. I have one now when I send messages from my iPhone or iPad that says, please forgive my brevity, this message courtesy of my iPhone or iPad. And that way people know I'm not just being short because I'm rude. I'm being short because I'm trying to type with my thumbs, which is, frankly, not my best skill. All right, next advanced strategy. This is another one that could ruffle some feathers, but I'm prepared. Avoid multiple storage folders. Okay, so many of you have folders set up for your email. Maybe you're using a tool like Outlook or Thunderbird. And you've got, or Apple Mail, and you've got folders to store things in. It used to be that email clients had pretty crummy search functionality. So by filing things away into a certain folder, we guarantee we'd be able to find it faster. However, the world has changed, and even Microsoft Outlook, which is, I believe, further behind the times than a lot of the other email tools out there, they've vastly improved their searching capabilities. Processing your email is going to be so much faster when you don't have to really evaluate where the message is going to go, what folder you're going to file it away into. And if you need to find stuff later, it's going to be a lot easier for you to find it if it's not hiding in a folder, you know, a folder of a folder of a folder. So that's why I recommend that you have one folder that you archive things into when it's done. If you have messages that you need to be able to access quickly for reference, you can put them into a specific folder, or a lot of tools allow you to label or categorize or tag a message so you can find like messages later. So you may end up creating a label, for instance, if you use Gmail or Google Apps, that will allow you to easily find that message later. And I definitely have done that. I have a whole collection of emails that people have sent me that I think are good examples that I might want to use as examples later. So I have a label called Swipe. If you've done any copywriting, you know, a swipe file is a collection of examples that you can pull inspiration from. However, I don't have a zillion folders. And the great thing about Gmail is that it doesn't matter what label something's in, I can always find it, because Gmail uses the same search tools of Google.com. Google has like 95% of the world's searches. We know that they have a great search technology behind them. So I want you to avoid using multiple storage folders. Now, some of you are starting this process and you're thinking, you know, Deanna, this is all fine and good for starting from scratch. What if I have messages in my inbox right now and I need to deal with them? Well, don't worry, I've got two killer tips for you. The first one is, if you've got a bunch of older messages and you're starting to process your email every day, If you've got a message that's older than a month, you might want to reply and just ask them, do you still need a response? Don't worry about providing a lot of backstory about why you haven't written back. No one needs to hear those excuses or reasons. Just get straight to the point. Maybe you want to pick up the phone and call them instead. And if you're thinking that it's just too late and it's no longer important, just archive it and move on. I know that sounds a little harsh, but this is your life we're talking about. And no one else, for most of you, is paying you for your time. So it's not like when you had a corporate job and you could spend all your darn day on email, which is the way most of corporate America works. You need to get rid of these messages that don't serve you. And to that end, if you're starting with a big backlog, I've got a killer tip for you right now. If you've got hundreds or thousands of emails in your inbox just sitting there, here's what I want you to do. Create a new folder called Email to Process. Move all your messages older than 1 week into that folder. Keep your regular schedule that you've set up for yourself in tip one to process your new messages coming in. And then schedule an additional 15 minutes a day to process those older messages. Start with the newest ones first and move through them very quickly. Can I delete it? Do I need it later? Does it require action? Can I do it in less than 2 minutes? Does it require more than 2 minutes when we put it on my task list? And maybe I can delegate it. All right, my next tip for dealing with email is to have one system that you check your email in. Have one email program for all your email addresses. This is a huge time saver when you don't have to log into different systems for multiple accounts. Now, most email clients can do this for you. You can have your email messages. I don't care if it's Comcast or Yahoo or Hotmail, Gmail, whatever, or maybe you have email set up for your own domain like I do, deannamayo.com. But you can have all your messages go into one system. And they don't necessarily have to all go into the same inbox, but that way you're not logging in and out of different systems, starting different pieces of software. It's, again, it may feel like it's just a few minutes every day, but those few minutes really add up. So Gmail can do this for you, or Google Apps, Outlook, Thunderbird. Thunderbird is the Mozilla email client. You can find it online for free. Of course, I love Gmail. I've been a Gmail user for a number of years now. I have Gmail set up for my own domain, and I just absolutely love it because I don't have to worry about my inbox being different on my desktop computer, my laptop, my iPhone, my iPad, etc. Even if I don't have a computer with me and I have someone else's that I can use, I can always log into my Gmail. Same is not really true with Outlook or some sort of desktop client. So that's something to keep in mind. You can save a lot of time if you just have one system. Okay. Here's a new addition, a new strategy that I've been using for now maybe about 4 months that I really feel good about recommending. And this is an auto filter tool. And the one I'm recommending is unroll.me. This is not an affiliate link. I don't get anything if you decide to try out the system. But unroll.me is a free way to end unwanted subscriptions and roll up the rest of your emails into an organized overview made just for you. And the way it works is you go to their website, you sign up, and then you select the emails that are overloaded in your inbox, and they'll automatically unsubscribe you. They'll also auto-filter or archive emails you don't need to read right then and there. The reason why I like this is once you've got these selections made for what you don't need to see right away or what you do, it starts to clear out a bunch of messages in your inbox. You can still get to your messages because they're moved into that archived folder. You can easily find the ones that were moved by unroll.me. but you don't have to see them when you go to process your email. And I'm telling you here quickly, what's going to happen is that you're not even going to miss those old messages. You might go into them from time to time, like you review your spam folder, but the truth is you are not going to miss them because they're not important. And if they are important, you'll start to move them from your unroll.me folder into your real inbox. Unroll.me saves me from about 100 messages a day. 100! Can you imagine if I was trying to process those 100 messages? It's just a waste of your time, and your time is your money. You can never get it back. Once that day is gone, you can never get it back. So I want to encourage you to try a tool like Unroll.me if you'd like to really start to get rid of subscriptions that you have right now that aren't serving you. All right, I'm going to take just a sip of water here and check in. What's your favorite advanced strategy so far? Maybe it's the Unroll.me tool. Maybe it's about, what do you do if you have thousands of emails? Maybe it was about checking email first thing in the morning. Go ahead and type in your favorite advanced strategy into the webinar box. Or if you're on the phone live, I'd love to hear from you. Just start to raise your virtual hand and let me know what your favorite advanced strategy is so far. I know you have one. Or maybe it's several. All right, so I've got one from the webcast here. Unroll.me, what a great idea. Yeah, it is. God bless them. I'm so glad they created it. And it's free. Did I mention that? Free. Now, here's the thing about Unroll.me that I didn't mention. It only works on Gmail, Google Apps, and Yahoo Mail right now. So if you're not using one of those tools right now, what you can do is sign up for a Gmail account, have your email forwarded there, and then you can use Unroll.me to start dealing with unwanted subscriptions, at the very least getting you unsubscribed to stuff that doesn't serve you anymore. Okay. So here's the thing. If you implement just a little bit of what I've shared today, you can drastically improve your clarity. You'll have a better perspective on what's happening in your business, more mental and digital space, higher energy, more peace of mind, and this will translate into more profits because when you're not spending your time on email, you can use that time to generate more revenue. So I've got a little bit of homework or recommended action items for you today as a result of our time together. And I'm going to review those here in just a second. But before I do, I want to take time for questions. So star 2 on the telephone keypad. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Or you can use the webcast Q&A. I'm seeing the message here on the Q&A already. I love the idea of scheduling email time and sticking to it so I'm back in control. Boy, am I glad to hear you say that. I don't see who the name was there, so I can't call you out on it, but I'm just really glad to see you say that because the thing is that this is your time. This is your life. I guarantee you, on your last days in this lifetime, you're not going to be saying to yourself, man, I wish I'd checked more email, right? You're going to be wanting to reflect on all the amazing experiences you had with friends and family and the impact you made. All right, looks like we've got a question live on the phone. Linda, you've got the mic. Go ahead.
What was the affiliate link that you gave? I'm not on the webcast.
Oh, sure. So that was for Teamwork PM. I'm going to go back to that slide here for you. It's tinyurl.com/DeannaLovesTeamwork. You can also find that. I'll have the slides for everyone as a result of our call today, so you'll find it in the slides. And okay. I've also got it on the recommended resources page on the website. I adore this tool. And what I love about it, and I didn't say this before, was it really can expand to how big your organization gets. So if it's just you right now, the free version, you can create multiple lists for yourself to sort of get things out of your head. And then once you grow, the cool thing about Teamwork is you don't pay based on the number of users or people involved. And so let's just say, for instance, Linda, everyone doesn't know Linda Smith is this amazing instrumentalist. She's a piano player, musician. She's a genius when it comes to adding music, live music, especially to your event. Maybe, Linda, you're working with an event team and there's various things that have to get done. Maybe you've got an additional set of musicians coming to work with you. You could plan out the entire thing with dates and who's responsible for what in Teamwork PM and give all those people access to it so they could see it. And that doesn't cost any more, even on the free version. So that's just an example of how you can use it.
That sounds great. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. So back to just double check the lines. And the webcast Q&A one more time. All right. So here's your suggested action steps. As a result of our time together today, I want you to set your email schedule. I want you to set those appointments with yourself. That means in your calendar, whatever system you're using to schedule appointments with yourself and with others, Google Calendar, paper planner, Outlook, whatever, set your email schedule for every workday. I don't care if it's 4 times a day for 30 minutes, twice a day for 15 minutes, whatever works best for you, set it and keep it. No more than 30 minutes at a time. I'm also going to recommend that you listen to this recording again within the next week, and I'll tell you why. It's been proven that we can only really remember about 24% the first time through. And I want you to have better results than that. So commit to listening to this recording again, about 60 minutes. You don't have to sit down and fully participate to listen. Put it on your iPhone or your MP3 player. Play it through the house as you're walking around, doing dishes. Maybe you take it to the gym with you, put your headphones in. But I want you to listen to it again. I want you to practice using the steps to process email. Delete it. Do it. Delay it. Just tasking it for later or delegating it when you process your email. Touch things only once. And I want to invite you to come to the Q&A call for our program. The Q&A call is February 28th at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. You'll get an email with the details. I want you to practice this over the next couple of weeks and bring your questions, challenges, and your celebrations to that call, so that we can support you in making this a lifelong habit. Because remember, if it's 30 minutes a day that you're wasting on email, and that equals 3 full weeks a year, that's not just this year. If you don't make some changes and reduce that amount of time, that's 3 weeks for the rest of your life as long as you have email. And I want you to be able to do good, powerful things with that time, not waste it. And then lastly, if you know that you want more, you need to get a plan in place, set up your systems, you want to make more money, you want to take more time off, you're ready to do more of the work you really love, let's have a private conversation. You can schedule with me at chatwithdeanna.com, and we can talk about how I might be able to help you to reach your goals faster and easier than if you're working on your own. Just a way for us to revisit where you're at, what's happening with your business, how you'd like it to altered or improved. And if I can help you with it, I'll make some ideas and suggestions. And if not, I'll see that you have a referral to a qualified professional that I recommend or resource that can serve you, a book, a training class, something else. All right, that's the end of how to control your email inbox without losing or sacrificing your time, your clients, or your sanity. As we wrap up, I'd love to hear a final thought from a couple of you. Just one thing that you're taking away or where the value was for you today. You can press star 2 on your telephone keypad to share or type into the Q&A box on the webcast. Would love to end our time together today with what this has meant for you, what your actions are, or perhaps how it's made an impact on how you'll move forward. All right, let's see. We've got a hand raised. Jeannie, you've got the mic. Go ahead.
So I'm looking at my email, and I've got 3,400 emails to process.
That's all right. You're not the only one. And thank you for being brave enough to share that out loud, because there are people listening right now that were thinking about saying something like that, but they were scared. So thank you for being the one to step up and say it.
So what I did was I went ahead and scheduled that twice a day for 30 minutes I will process email, and I won't think about it when it's not time to deal with it. And I feel better already. I mean, I still have 3,400 emails to process, but I feel like now I'm in control. It's not weighing on me, and I'm overwhelmed by it. So, wow, thank you. It was great.
You are welcome. And, hey, don't be afraid to move those messages, you know, older than a week, into a folder and just dig through them slowly over time. Odds are the really old ones aren't that important anymore anyway, so you're not really missing much by moving them out of your inbox and just scheduling an additional couple minutes to deal with those. I mean, that has been a tip that saved the sanity of many a client, so I will be really excited to hear about your results.
Awesome. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right, well, with that, we're right at the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here with me today. This is Deanna Mayo signing off for how to take control of your inbox without sacrificing your time, your clients, or your sanity. Until the next time, make it a great day, and here's to your fantastic success. Take good care.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.